Let's open with hymn number 163.
The death of In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy,
and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death
of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him is salvation, life, and resurrection from the dead. By him we are redeemed and set at liberty. God be merciful unto us, and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray.
O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee that of thine infinite mercy thou hast instituted this thy sacrament, in which we eat thy body and drink thy blood. Grant us, we beseech thee by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not receive this gift unworthily, but that we may confess our sins, remember thine agony and death, believe the forgiveness of sins, and day by day grow in faith and love until we obtain eternal salvation through thee, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
Our epistle lesson this evening is found in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 23rd through the 32nd verse. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Here ends the epistle. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. The Holy Gospel for this day is found in the 13th chapter of John, the 1st through the 15th verse. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Here ends the gospel.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 164. Thank you. Grace be unto you, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body. For we all partake of that one bread. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Lord, on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he gave to his church a gift which he ordained should be with her until the end of the world, giving her strength and comfort, forgiving her sins in a most personal, intimate way. With this gift, every Christian can be certain that the love which God showed when he gave his Son to die for the sins of the world is given personally to every single person who believes this sacrifice. This gift, which is also his last will and testament, is the Lord's Supper, where he personally gives to you his body and blood so that you might be certain that your sins are forgiven and that you are a member of his own body. The gift of the Lord's Supper is so precious that no praise is too great for it. For when we praise the supper, we praise Christ Jesus himself. For in the bread and wine which we eat and drink, he himself is present with his body and blood. The words of Jesus on that night are plain words. They are simple words. For that is the way of Jesus, to reveal the most extraordinary truths with normal human words. Since the days of the Reformation, we have kept these words in their plain and simple form every time we celebrate the supper. Jesus says, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We can only stand in awe of these words, for in these simple phrases, Jesus declares that when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we are eating and drinking his body and blood. When God declares something extraordinary, man's immediate reaction is to doubt, even when he knows full well that God is in the business of doing extraordinary things and supernatural works. It is to be expected that worldly scoffers will ridicule the miraculous truth which Jesus declares, but by far the loudest voices which deny the simple words of Jesus are not coming from the world, but from within the visible church, from the mouths of the very people who otherwise confess the death of Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. Where Jesus has plainly spoken, the modern churches are not the only ones who have not paid attention. The church at Corinth in the days of the apostles likewise made light of these words of Jesus regarding the body which he gave and the blood which he shed. They might have paid lip service to the real presence in their celebration of the Lord's Supper, but they certainly did not act as if there, joined to earthly bread and wine, is the body and blood which atone for their sins, given to them so that they might partake of it. And so, it is in response to some very bad behaviors that took place in that congregation that the beloved Apostle Paul wrote the words of our sermon text and of the epistle lesson which we heard this evening. The words of our sermon text are so very simple also. So little do these two verses allow anyone to deny the real presence that even the most skilled and reputable theologians of the Reformed world have bashed themselves against this text. And they insist that because they have no other alternative, that here at least God must allow human reason to trump and contradict the clear meaning of his word. In so many words, they say God's word can't mean what it says, because that doesn't make any sense. It's for that reason that Luther calls these words of our text a thunderbolt on the head of such errorists. Here, every complicated theory and explanation falls away, and all are forced to admit that the reason that they cannot believe that in the supper is Christ's real body and blood is simply because it offends their minds. And rather than hold their reason in subjection to God's word, they demand that God's word kneel down before their reason. But when they do this, they lose a most precious gift. For Jesus gave us this supper for no other reason than that he loves us. And he wants to preserve us in the faith, to strengthen us to battle against the temptations of the devil and our flesh, and to give us the most personal and certain assurance possible that our sins, which have earned the wrath of God, are covered and paid for by his body and blood. Who would despise such a treasure as this? Listen to the words of our lesson again and consider the greatness of the gift that Jesus gave to us on the night in which he was betrayed. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? When Jesus came to this earth, he came in human flesh that could be seen and touched. His voice was not a voice coming out of a cloud or from some unseen force. It was spoken using human organs of vocal cords and a tongue. God Almighty made himself available in human flesh and blood. He came down to earth in his Son Jesus Christ because men who are bound to human flesh could not and cannot ascend up to God, because it is impossible for man to climb a ladder up to heaven and meet God where God is. God always makes himself available to men here, where men are. And in these last days, he has done this in the flesh and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the night of his last Passover meal, Jesus knew that he would soon be going away. And where he was going, his disciples could not follow until the day when they too left this earth and were seen no more. They and all who came to believe on him through the apostles' word and preaching would need a firm and a certain assurance of the presence of Christ among them, so that the forgiveness of sins which he accomplished would continue to be present among them in a form that they could see and hear, taste and touch. He gave us such means when he instituted baptism, so that with water which we can see and feel, we could be joined to his death and resurrection, receiving the blessings which his death accomplished, the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. While he was among us in bodily form, his disciples could commune with him. But after he ascended to heaven, he wanted to leave behind a means whereby his Christians could still commune with him. He instituted his supper and he committed it to the church so that Christians would always be able to commune with his body and blood, which forgave their sins. Because the Corinthians had lost sight of the precious communion which was entrusted to them, Paul reminds them and us where that communion is found. He says, this cup of blessing, which we bless. And by using those words, he identified the cup of the Lord's Supper, apart from every earthly cup. We bless this cup in particular, that it may be the cup of the Lord's Supper. It's not an ordinary cup. It is called a cup of blessing. It gives to us a wondrous blessing indeed. The very forgiveness which the blood of that cup won for us. It is a cup which we bless. That means that when we bless this cup for use in the Lord's Supper, it is actually so blessed by Christ Jesus himself and contains now his blessing for us. His words which he spoke on the night in which he was betrayed remain just as effective today as they did then. When we bless that cup, he blesses it. So that we should in no wise doubt that the supper which we receive today is the very same supper which Jesus gave to his disciples on that night that he was delivered into the hands of his accusers to be crucified. Now, when Paul describes the bread, he calls it the bread which we break. Those words, the breaking of bread, that is a phrase with a specific meaning. It does not refer to just simply breaking a chunk of bread off and leaving it there. The word means a meal, a shared meal, where people eat. And so by using those words, he is saying that this bread is broken for the express purpose of distributing it to those who then eat it. And so that phrase means this bread which we eat. Without the eating, there is no breaking of bread. That means that in the Lord's Supper, we do not just bless these earthly elements, we distribute them to eat and to drink them. That is an essential part of his supper. It is not the Lord's Supper unless it is actually a supper where there is eating and drinking. And so now we've clearly seen which cup and which bread Paul means. We hear what he says about them. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And is it not the communion of the body of Christ? This word communion means participation in. And it is talking about us, about you and me, communing with, that is participating in, the body and blood of Christ. Now, according to these words, how is it that we participate in Christ's body and blood? In the cup and in the bread. There, he says, is that participation, that communion. It is so very clear from these words that it is through these earthly elements that we partake, not just in wine and bread, but in the blood and body of Christ Jesus, our Lord. That is where we are communing with his body and blood. Note those words carefully again. They do not just say that we are drawing near to Christ in our hearts. Like, for example, when we pray. They say nothing about this cup and bread simply being a remembering of his body and blood, which was once given and shed. They say that this cup is the communion of his blood. This bread which we break, that is, which we share and eat with one another, is the communion of his body. And so, you see then, to deny the real presence is not just to deny a miracle. It's to deny our own communion with the body and blood of Jesus. That is what is at stake. And so, with this plain and clear confession, Paul then concludes, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." Christ Jesus does not have many bodies. He has only one. When Christians throughout the world partake in the cup and the bread, they participate in the one body of our Lord. we are all united together in one Lord Jesus Christ. And to partake of the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper is also then to confess our unity with one another in Him. Because if we all partake of the one bread, then together we are all the one body of Christ. For we now participate in His body. This supper can never be just a common meal. It can never be just a solemn little meal with no... For no solemn meal of remembrance actually unites people together in truth, in one body. Only the Lord's Supper can do this. Therefore, let us never treat this supper casually, but hold it dear in our hearts. Desire it fervently. Treat it reverently, for it is our Lord's body and blood. And above all other reasons, we should greatly treasure and desire it, because here, in the bread and wine, is the means whereby our sins have been forgiven before the Father in heaven. Believe this, partake of it, and that pardon and peace with God is yours. May God grant that we ever remain one body, even as we all partake of this one bread and drink of this one cup. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give Thee hearty thanks that through Thy Son, Jesus Christ, Thou hast for our good instituted the blessed sacrament of the Holy Supper, wherein under the consecrated bread and wine, He truly gives us His body to eat and His blood to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. And we beseech Thee, grant us Thy grace, that we may at all times be truly worthy and well prepared to receive this gift, and order our lives aright until we shall finally obtain eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with Thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
We sing hymn 313. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them all unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame, might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying. Kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me."
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shed for you, for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 51.
Help me be moved.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Amen.